lot of things are happening in the body of Christ right now, and one of the things that is happening is that we're awakening to the truth of who God has always purposed for us to be. People are looking to have a purpose. It's not the millennials that are looking for purpose. It's all of us. We all need to know. We have a desire to know. Why are we here? Why are we here? And so the first thing we have to know is that God created us in His image and in His likeness, and we're here because He has purposed for us to be like Him. One of the things that the Word tells us that is very clear is that for this purpose Jesus came, to defeat the works of the enemy. If you are like Jesus, then you have come to defeat the works of the enemy. It's actually pretty simple. But see, we are used to the enemy coming and shoving us around, and we are letting life happen to us instead of us causing life to happen. I don't know how to say that again. It would have to do a repeat. So we are the people that God is counting on, that He made to be like Him, to cause these things to come into divine order. And so if we are to defeat the enemy and to show forth that our God, we just declared all of those things. We are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you know that that is in the Word? It is. We're not making that up. It's in the Word. So if we're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, then why is it that we are walking in victory? So we have to understand that there is something that has occurred along the way. Now, I remember back in the day. Oh, see, can I go there yet? I don't know if I can go there yet. I have to kind of lay this out. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says this. We are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. Husbandry means this, that we are God's farm. We are His farm. We are His cultivation. This is, He has actually meant us. That means He has laid His seeds inside of us to bring forth a harvest. We are His cultivation. So we are the answer to God's prayer, so to speak. He knew what He needed to do to create us to be like Him, and He designed us to purposely work with Him. You're designed to work with God, not just for God. You're designed, you know, if we think we're just working for God, then we go back to a works mentality and we do what Ryan was talking about. We go back to our list. We go back to doing everything so we can please God, which God has already proven to us in the Old Testament that won't work. In and of our own strength, we cannot, by means of works, ever do what God said to please Him. We can please Him by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then co-labor with Him to show forth His glory on the earth. We are not those who beat against the air, but we are those who beat. Oh yeah, we're going to do beat down today. Okay, so He said we are God's building. Building means that we are God's architecture. We are God's structure. That means that God is going to count on us to be the structure on which He can build. He said upon the revelation of Jesus Christ to Peter, I am going to build my church. But He said, I'm going to build my church. And guess what He wants to build other people on? You. He wants you to be the structure that other people can count on. The days of us hoping that when somebody comes to church, everything will be all right is gone. This is where we gear up. This is where we come together to gather the power, to understand, to get the revelation of what the Word of God says, so that we together can join arms and we can defeat the enemy here, so that we can defeat the enemy also outside these doors. And you're not going to have all of us when you go outside. You're going to have to stand against the enemy out there, and you're going to have the confidence that is necessary. But guess what? God is doing it. God is bringing us back to the understanding of who we really are and how he really built us. And we are not built to be defeated people trying to survive. If you're in survival mode, then you are not showing forth God's praises on the earth. We are not defeated. We are victorious. Someone say we are victorious. Now, the Bible tells us that thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us to triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. So what does he always lead us to? To victory. Sometimes? All the time. All the time we are supposed to walk in victory. All the time he built us to be victorious. All the time we are supposed to win. All of the time he has given us and equipped us to be exactly who he's called us to be. All the time winning. All the time winning. Say, I'm a winner. Yeah, I'm a winner. See, you got to slap yourself sometimes. You got to get up in the morning, slap yourself and say, I'm going to win today. And you got to get beyond yourself. I'm not just going to win today for me. I am going to win today for somebody else. Because I have the ability. I have the ability because I'm carrying the Holy Spirit of God on the inside. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now living and dwelling inside of me. And whatever he tells me to do, and I do it in obedience, he is backing me. And I'm co-laboring, participating with the purposes of God today. I'm not waiting till somebody lays hands on me. I'm not waiting till I get moved by something I hear. No, I'm moving myself. I'm moving myself with the word of God on the inside of me, with his word in my mouth, with the Spirit of God intact, with my relationship that I already know. And when I step into the battle and I recognize that it's a battle, I already can do it with total confidence because I'm stepping in with the victory. Amen. I'm not stepping in to see how bad the enemy's going to beat me up. I am stepping in looking to the opportunity to see how bad I can beat him up. Yep. And so things are shifting in our minds again. You know, the body of Christ is like we become, I don't know, weirdos. We're weirdos in the fact that we forgot how God designed us. You know, we thought everything that we learned in the past got to be a little weird for us. We wanted to be acceptable in church. Ugh. You know, we had Larry Lee. We were talking about this the other day. We had Larry Lee teach us years ago, you know, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that we could defeat the enemy. And so, you know, we had helmets. You know, we like put on the helmet of salvation. You know, we did it. We had real helmets. I'm not even kidding you. We had belts of truth, you know. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet had on the gospel preparation of peace. You know what I mean? But we had to have it walked out. And then every day we'd get up and we'd act like we were doing it. Like we thought we had to act like it. And so then, you know, great auditoriums were filled with people doing all of this stuff. And then, you know, we were fierce. And then everybody thought it was weird. You know, well, we don't need that anymore. Jesus defeated the enemy. Why do we have to put on our armor? That's pretty weird stuff. But that was just the starter kit, people. That was the starter kit. Because God never erased Ephesians 6 out of the Bible. It's still there. I hate to tell you, but you're in a war. I hate to tell you, but you have an enemy. I hate to tell you that he has weapons. He still has weapons. Does he have weapons? All right. Let me see. You know, this is what happens when you spend all these hours and he blows it out of the water. Okay. That's just fine. We just go with it. 3 weeks. Okay. Oh, I just love this. Okay, Ephesians 6. I do have this somewhere, but I'm not going to hunt for it. Okay, in conclusion, in finality, because I just taught you how to live your life in Ephesians. Paul is saying, okay, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. Be empowered how? Oh, because I know who I am, I'm with him. You see, I'm not trying to do this in my own strength. I am with him, and he is with me. And therefore, I'm unbeatable. Amen. Okay. Draw your strength from him, the strength which his boundless might provides. Oh, his boundless might is providing that. Can we put it up on the, do we have it, the Amplified version up there? Or no? It's like on page 9, I think. We already went to page 9, people. It's just, we just done flew past everything else. Okay. And you're going to put on the full armor of God. For what are we putting on? Okay, so I want you to see this. Now, we're still soldiers. We're still in a war. We still have to put on our armor. But let's look at it a little bit different now. We got to look at it like this. We're going to put on the full armor of God. We're going to put on his precepts. Now, I'm going to put on his precepts. I'm going to have the perception that I am an army, but I'm in an army and I'm heavily armed soldier by the power of Almighty God. I am standing up against every scheme and every strategy and all the deceits of the devil. I'm up this morning. I am ready. You understand? You get up, your eyes pop open, and you go, let's go. You think you're going to defeat me today? You think you're going to rewind all of the things that I have been concerned about? You think you're going to cause me to be depressed? You think sickness is going to be allowed to come into my territory? I got news for you, devil. I got up with the precepts of God inside of me. I got up with my mind thinking about how big he is. My perception of him is no longer small. I'm not going to agree with you that you have power over me, because my Bible tells me he has given me all power over your power. So though you might have some power, what I have and what I'm carrying and what I have on the inside of me is bigger than yours. And I am already coming to you, Satan, with the victory. So you can say whatever you say. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Because I'm not listening to you anymore. I have to listen to you, because every time you open your mouth, it's a lie. You're the father of all lies. You don't even know how to tell the truth. So shut up. Oh, but if you shut up, and if you don't shut up, it doesn't matter to me, because I know who I am. And here's the difference that the church is going to have. We're not going to shut up. Okay, let's go over here and see if anybody's a Duffy over here. The difference is we're not going to shut up. All right. So when we are armed and ready, then we know that part of our armor is the shout. Why are we so crazy in the morning about worship? Well, because we're understanding something. We left what God gave us as a weapon on the floor. We're like, I don't want to look weird. I want to be acceptable. I don't want to shout. You know, why we got to be so loud? You know, when people tried to intimidate me about being so loud, I almost lost my destiny. Yeah. Well, I'm not losing it. No, I'm a voice to the body of Christ, and I'm going to shout it out. You're not going to silence me. You're going to not make me settle down. I'm never going to settle down. I'm going to always be like a little outrageous. I'm going to be a little loud. I'm going to be like a little ridiculous, and either you're going to love me or you're going to hate me, but if you love what God is doing, you better get used to it. because I am not the only one that has a voice. I am training people. I'm looking for some warriors. I'm looking for some people who can catch what the Word of God is saying in the land. I'm looking for somebody who's going to say, I want to join that army, because you know what? That army is fierce. That army is not going to get defeated. Something's going on in that army. You, everything that God does is done in a way that supersedes the natural. You know, we talked about the law of lift and the law of gravity. The gravity is still there, isn't it? We still live in this world, I hate to tell you. But guess what? The law of lift supersedes the law of gravity, and you can rise above. Is that true? Well, we live in this world, but we're not of it. We're not of this world. We're not going to act like we're of this world. We're going to act like we got something that everybody needs, because we do. Because we're excited about who we serve. Because we have seen him intervene on our behalf. We have seen him move in other people's life. I mean, I got something to shout about every day. He is good. He has proven himself good. He is never going to be anything but good. He has defeated sickness. He has defeated disease. He has defeated darkness. And he has included me in his defeat. The enemy is defeated because of my Jesus who lives on the inside of me. I'm happy about it. Woo! There, I did a jump for you. Oh, so we have to find out that our purposes will only be realized when we start identifying with the purposes of Jesus. Jesus said, my purpose is to fulfill God's purpose. I only do what the Father tells me to do, but he came to defeat the enemy. So you can get a little bit excited about the fact that you get to defeat the enemy openly, making a shame of him openly and triumphing over it. You know, hey, all right, okay. Oh, dear God in heaven, you can have works without faith, but you cannot have faith without works. Okay, so that means this. I don't mean the works of a, not the checkmark works. I'm talking about the works where you see what God is doing. Okay, Jesus, what do you want to do today? I'm engaging. That's your works. You want to get busy? You better get busy with the right person doing the right things. I'm busy about my Father's business. I am busy showing forth Satan's defeat on the land. I'm busy. I'm going to be busy. Not going to get tired, though. You know why I'm not going to get tired? Because you're energized by obedience. You're energized when the Spirit of God is participating with you in fulfilling your purpose and your destiny. You see, we all have that on the inside of us. But you know, if you try to be just mamby-pamby, ho-hum Christians, you're not going to have the excitement of, why are you going through life? Why? I won't understand it ever, ever, ever. Why do you go through life acting like you're like everyone else? Hello. Christ lives in me. If Christ doesn't live in you, well, this is your opportunity today. He can live in you too. It's a matter of accepting him as Lord and Savior. It's easy to do. That's why people stumble over it. But once he is in you, you are no longer common. Because the spirit inside of me supersedes the spirit of this world. Satan is in this world. Yes, he is. That's why we're in a war. Okay, but hey, the spirit that is in me supersedes him. I got nothing to worry about. I can face him down all day long. It's how we face him down that is different. Amen. Okay, so mostly what I have seen in the body of Christ is that we're disengaging from the war. We just decide we're not going to do this. This is weird. I don't know if I understand. Well, you're not going to understand it in your mind, so you might as well just blank that out right now. This is going to make no sense to your brain. I am not talking to your brain. I'm trying to activate your spirit and your mouth so that when you speak out of your mouth, you'll understand in your brain that what we're doing makes more sense than what you weren't doing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have to start being an active Christian. Not a, let me just ride on somebody else's anointing. Let me just ride down the road. Let me just see what's going to happen today. And then you get beat up and you wonder, how come I'm in this situation? How did the enemy get to me? I mean, why do I have a black eye and a sore foot? Well, what are you doing to defeat him? Did you get up today and did you think about who you're with? Did you glorify his name? Did you shout a little bit about Jesus being the one who has overcome all of the things? Did you go around telling somebody, I got something you need? You just don't know his name yet, but boy, I'm telling you, he knows how to change your life because he changed my life. You know, you go around looking for the people who are ready. You're like, oh, the harvest is ready. It is white. It is white. I'm going to look for the ones who are looking for something, that they're a little bit hungry for something more than average. Christians act like Christ. Whoa. Wow. Are you saying you're God? No, but I can act a lot like him. Because I am put on this earth to show forth Satan's defeat by Jesus' resurrecting power living on the inside of me, and I will not apologize for that. I am not God, but I am God's, belonging to him, underneath his authority, knowing his name, glorifying him, being what he's called me to be. Hallelujah. So we have disengaged. Why? Because we're in denial. We're in denial that we're in a war. Those people are so crazy. I was talking about, the devil. They're talking about, I don't know. Why can't we just, I'll become one with the universe. And that'll win. How's that working for anybody? Becoming one with the universe, you need to understand that once you have received Jesus Christ, you have become one with God, the creator of the universe, the one that has already defeated the enemy. You are containing power that needs a release. Don't consume it upon your own lust. Don't just go, oh yay, Jesus made me healed. Jesus did this for me. He defeated all of this for me. I don't have to live under the bondage of sin. All of that is true. But hey, don't be selfish. You need to share it. This is about who we're supposed to be on the earth. This is what God is looking for. He said, I'm counting on my church. I'm counting on somebody I'm coming back for that is without spot and without wrinkle. He's like looking for somebody and he's going, whoa. Man, they got it. They're not dependent on themselves anymore. They're dependent on that which I left inside of them, and they're starting to act like conquerors. Oh, my goodness. Look, there's a victor. Oh, and there's a victor, and there's a conqueror right over there. There's somebody who knows who they are. Oh, they're acting this out on the earth. Oh, my goodness. They're co-laboring with me. We're getting somewhere. Imagine if everybody that enters the church today begin to understand that they are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, their Lord, and they went out and started acting like it. Well, that's how, we need to change society. Well, we need to change our president. Oh, just shut up. You're going to change society, and it don't matter who's the president. If you are the Christians that God created you to be, just go out there and act like him. You want to influence society? Be like Jesus. Tell the truth all the time. Go around laying hands on people. See them recover. Don't just lay hands on them. Don't go speaking in tongues in their face so you can prove how spiritual you are. You don't have to do that. You speak in tongues. You know, we are allowed to speak in tongues in this church because, you know, it's part of who we are. But we also speak in tongues a lot in our houses. I mean, what is that little thing that you talk to in your house? Alexa. Alexa probably knows tongues by now. She just, she listened to everything I'm saying. She's listening to whatever you're saying. They're up there in Amazon trying to figure out what Chundabarasandabaradaria somebody at that means. They're like, we don't know how to put that in Wikipedia. We don't even know what to say. What does it mean to speak in tongues? We don't know. Alexa doesn't know. But we know. It means this. It's an expression of the Holy Spirit of God coming out of us, letting us know that his empowerment is still alive, letting us know that what we have in our mouth is able to go forth like a sword and defeat the enemy. It's fire caught up in our bones that we release, and the enemy goes splat. Okay, let me see if I can go back here. Okay. Okay, Jesus, we disengage because of lack of knowledge. We're like, I never heard this stuff before. Well, that's okay, now you're hearing it. Guess what, now you'll be accountable for it. I like that. Okay, we disengage because of self-focus. It's all about us. What do I want to do today? Oh my goodness, okay. Here's what you should want to do today. Obey God. You know what's going to fulfill you? Obeying God. You know what you should be doing? Seeking him. If I seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all the other things will be added to me. I am not seeking riches, but he'll give me everything I need and more. You know why? Because I'm supposed to help other people. I believe in the prosperity message. We're going to prosper. We are going to be in health. You know why? Because my soul is prospering. Because I grabbed a hold of my mind. And I said, you're going to listen to what God said over what your reasoning power is. My reasoning power ain't working. But my spirit power is now starting to affect my mind. Because the power that is hidden in God's word, when I speak it out, starts electrifying the parts of my brain that agree with God, since he made it in his image and in his likeness. And he wants it to function like he functions. They say we only use 5% of our brain. No wonder we're not accomplishing anything. There's all those other 95% of our brain that God is going, hey, I need you to do something with me today. Yeah. And you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But we shut him out because we're self-focused. We think we're going to accomplish something. We're going to, what, you're going to get rich? Your life is a vapor. It's like this. That's it. You know, oh good, you made money. Yay you. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the only thing that you can take to eternity is people. Well, why are we so worried about the temporal and the things that we can grab when we should be grabbing for the things that supersede the natural? And let me pull on the gifts of God and bring miracles down to work through me like we prophesied in song today. Well, okay. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. They might be made known by the church. Are you the church? Okay. To the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Oh my goodness, this is what we've been singing about all day. I have confidence, but it's not confidence in me, but I have the manifold. That means the amazing, no restriction wisdom of God. On the inside of me, I don't think like other people think. I'm not supposed to. You're not supposed to. We think above. We don't think down here. Like, we're not even supposed to be looking around at this earthly way of doing things. You know, we take all of these little courses to help us. Well, what kind of course are you taking? You need to do a heavenly course. There's a heavenly course that you take. You're like, how did you do it? I want to do it how you did it, because how you did it is how I get to do it. Because I am made in your image and your likeness, so I'm going to figure this out. Okay, so God has put the proper people in the proper place with the proper weapons at the proper time, and that's you, and that's me for right now. And so we're not going to look at somebody else accomplishing what we are called personally to do. I mean, I can do what I'm called to do, but you're not called to be me. Did you know that? You know, don't emulate me, emulate him. But Paul said, follow me as I follow God. You can follow me, just don't think you're me. That'd be weird. Now talk about weird. That's weird. But he said, go ahead, watch what I do. Say what I say. See what happens when I speak to principalities. Watch them fall, then do it. Go ahead. I got nothing to hide. So Paul is saying, you know, he keeps training the church, think differently, think above, think out of the box. Go follow the things that I'm trying to say, but you're only going to grasp this in the spirit. You're only going to grasp it in the spirit. So from the beginning, when God spoke, we know from just reading the Bible. I mean, the world was in chaos, but when God spoke, his words are weighty. They carry weight. They carry authority. They carry the empowerment to make the impossible possible. You want to know what the great boom was? It was God speaking. Yeah. Yeah. And so his voice moves things into proper position for his will to be done. His will was to cause earth to be without chaos. His will was for light to shine in the darkness. And his will was that he would create man in his image and his likeness to take dominion and have authority. And so, you know, we are his examples on the earth. So why is the enemy always trying to get us to shut up? You know, well, you just need to settle down. You just need to be a little bit calmer. You know, people won't understand how to respond to you. Yeah, too bad, is right. Too bad. Okay. Well, I'll tell you why, because he's afraid. He's afraid of the voice that you can release because he's heard that voice before. Because you see, our purpose is co-laboring with God. So when I say something and it is empowered by God out of obedience, when he tells me to speak and I speak, there is a whole different way. I can talk to you on a regular basis. I mean, listen, I'm human just like you. You go to lunch with me, you sit down with me, you're going to find out I'm human. You know, I do the same things you do. You know, I have to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Let's be real here. You know, it's like, in case you wanted to. No, it's just real. This is life, okay? But there's something that when I look into the Word of God and I get a revelation of who I am, and then something presents itself before me that I know is of the enemy, that I can step into my proper positioning in God because I know His will. Sickness and disease is not God's will. And I don't want to discuss about your poor aunt who loved God with all of her heart and she died. I don't know. That is endless genealogy stuff. I will not argue that point with you. I am telling you what the Word says. The Word said Jesus came to defeat the works of the enemy, and he came to defeat sin, and he came to defeat sickness, and he came to put cancer under his feet, and he came to stop depression, and he came to set the captives free, and he came to make you get out of slavery and poverty mentality. He came so that you could live a life and live it abundantly, without hesitation, without knowing if this is right. He said it in his word. The word is right. We're not going to argue with Jesus about what was written in the word. He became flesh and acted it out for us. He settled it. Satan is afraid of you because you have a voice that can supersede his voice. He'll come every day and tell you something that is wrong. He'll come every day telling you how defeated you are. He'll come every day telling you that you're never going to make it. He'll come every day telling you that you're never going to get out of your financial hole. He'll come every day and tell you your relationship is going to work. He'll come every day and tell you that. What are you saying back? Hey. Okay. So you have to understand, if we're made in his likeness, in his image, then what we say is weighty. Whoa. That makes a difference, doesn't it? God's words are weighty. He spoke to chaos and it came into order. Guess what? I'm with him. Amen. Guess what? He's with me. What I say has weight. When I release what God says, it's weighty. It can sit in the atmosphere, and it can begin to reside, and it can begin to cause people's hearts to change. It can start changing minds. It can start putting things into proper divine order, and pretty soon people start responding differently than they've ever responded before. Isn't that what happened when you got saved? Yeah. Because someone spoke the words of God, and the words of God out of their mouth became just as weighty. Anybody ever heard of Billy Graham? Yeah, well, try to sit in one of his services without getting saved. It's like he's an evangelist. He's got the weightiness of the word of God, the reality of what salvation is. And even if you're saved, you want to get saved again. Every time I heard Billy Graham, I wanted to run to the altar. I'm like, I want to get saved. Finally, I'm like, why do I want to get saved? I'm already saved. And then I realized he's got the weightiness of the word of God, the reality, the revelation that you are coming out of darkness into his marvelous light by Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whoever will come may come. Yeah. We are words. Are carrying the weightiness of God. They're full of authority. Oh, geez. When we get, listen, it's easy to say this under the anointing. You know this. Under the anointing of God, I say this and I am 100% sure. I'm 100% sure. And then life happens. You know what I'm saying? And then life happens, and then you've got to stand against whatever the enemy has brought. And you're like, wow, how come I don't feel like I have all that authority right now in this situation? And you've got to smack yourself. And you've got to tell yourself your feelings don't get the vote. We don't have authority because we feel like we have authority. I mean, I feel the authority right now, but that's because I'm up here teaching you. But I have authority when I don't feel like I have authority. You understand what I'm saying? My feelings can't be like knocking me around, changing my mind about the word. What the word has to say is the final authority over my life. If I agree with the word of God, then I am also agreeing with the final authority that I can release out of my mouth. Okay, good. All right, so our voice, not just God's voice, but we are co-laboring with God in our purpose. We are participating with our purpose when we talk like he talks, when we act like he acts, which is weird and unusual to some, but very normal for us. And so Joshua, the Lord, you know, when the Lord went to him, he's like, he had all these excuses why he couldn't do what God called him to do. But I am but a youth. And God didn't care what he was saying back. God had already purposed that he was going to co-labor with him and fulfill his purpose. And he goes, you know, I chose you. I made you. You know, this is exactly what you're going to do. You're going to defeat the enemy. We're going to go on this little ride together, but I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it. And so Joshua starts obeying God. Just amazing. And when he starts obeying God, he finds out he could do unusual things. Like, he gets all of his people together. They go over to the promised land. There's these walls. They're so thick that you could ride chariots over the walls. And he's like, I know what to do. First of all, you guys shut up. I can't be having any of your nonsense. We're not going to wonder about, we're not going to discuss how big the walls are. We're not going to talk about how, look at all those chariots. We're not going to look at what the enemy has. We're not going to talk about what the enemy has been able to do. We're not going to talk about the defeat that has occurred in the past. We're going to shut up. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in unity. In order to get in unity, you're going to have to walk around. You're going to have to walk around, and you're going to have to shut up on purpose. Now, you know, getting a bunch of people to shut up, thousands of people to shut up on purpose, you know that that in itself was probably the biggest miracle right there, right? Because, like, we like to talk, and we sure like to talk when we see something like that. No, shut up. Shut up and walk. Walk, 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 walk. Walk, and when I tell you, you know what they're doing? They're defeating the enemy because they're not giving in to what their senses are saying. They're defeating the enemy because they're going, God said we're going to win. God said this is the promised land. God said this is our land. We're going to go take it. This doesn't make any sense to my senses, but my senses have to shut up because I have to shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then Joshua said, now, when I tell you, I want you to just go, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. No, but isn't that more acceptable? Oh, somebody might have saw me raise my hand. Oh, my God. No, they're walking, and now they're getting stirred up by the Spirit of God. And now when he says, shout! And all of a sudden, there was a roar that came from heaven that joined their roar. And it wasn't a problem for those walls anymore. They just went splat. Oh, yeah, go in, take the spoils. Our land. Well, that's what we're supposed to do for Davy. It's what we're supposed to do for Cooper City, for Pembroke Pines, for all the surrounding areas. But we don't want to shout because we don't want to look weird. Well, I look weird every week. I'm just saying. And I have people who act it out for me. When I get done, they go, you know what you did today? I'm like, I don't like to watch it. You know, like there's absolutely no room for pride. I can tell you that because I've done all kinds of things, and I look really weird. And it doesn't matter how I look. It matters how effective that it is. So when he says, shout, you are not alone in the shout. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you're going to in about a minute. So Joshua learned from his obedience with God that if they could shout and walls could come down so that they could take the promised land, that when the enemy came and they said, we are coming with a huge army and we are going to defeat you, Joshua is like, wait a minute, I learned a precept of God. I have the perception now that if I participate in my purposes, things in the natural will shift and change. So they said, well, we're going to come and we're going to defeat you. This is all found in Joshua 10. I'm not going to read it all. But I will read Joshua 10:8. And the Lord said to Joshua, don't fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Is that all you need, is the word of the Lord? Yes. That's all you need, is the word of the Lord. Amen? Okay, so then, verse 12, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered him up from the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel. Here's what he said. Son, as in, not S-O-N, S-U-N, sun, stand still. And moon, stand still. Does this make any sense to your natural man? We're going to defeat the enemy because I am Joshua, and I'm going to talk to the sun and the moon. I need more daylight. So I'm going to take the same principle, the precepts of God, and I'm going to apply it in this area. I am facing an enemy down, but all I have to do is speak. And when he spoke, they stood still. Oh, my goodness. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Even history proves that out. Okay, so, but my favorite part is this. When we do what God has created us to do, when we are participating with him in our purpose, do you think that God gets excited over you? I mean, he's like, they're actually doing it. They're like, they shouted and those walls came down. Now, Joshua, this guy who said, I can't do it, I'm just a youth. Well, now he's going, hey, you stop right now. I need light, and you're going to be the light I need. So God gets all excited. I love this. Joshua 10:11. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horan that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them, and they died. And the more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. God goes, Joshua's got it. I'm joining the fight. I'm calling down hailstones. Kaboom, 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 kaboom. They're dying. All the enemies are defeated because now they are co-laboring together to win the war. Now, we know Old Testament is, you know, physical to physical. You got to shift your mind. We're still in the war, but it's spiritual to spiritual. But the precept of God is the same in that when I release the shout and I co-labor with God, he will come into our atmosphere and he will defeat our enemies and make things align with his perfect will when he sees the soldiers that he's made us to be. See, I should have worn my more camo today. We have to put on the whole armor, but this is what the armor looks like. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is Ephesians 6:12. Contending only with the physical opponent. You understand? We're not fighting against flesh and blood here. But we're still in a war. We're still in a war. Yeah. Just because Jesus came and defeated the enemy, he just showed us how to defeat him. He didn't say, now you're going to like ride around on clouds like fat little angels. He did not say that anywhere. He said, I got weapons for you. Okay. He said, we're going to fight, but we're fighting against something spiritual. Against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this present darkness. Do you think we have some present darkness that's happening around us? Okay. against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So then he says, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. So is there danger? Okay. Can you stand? Mm-hmm. And done everything that the crisis demands to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. Oh, glory to God. So we can win. But we have got to go ahead and put on our armor. But it's not like the armor that we used to think we had to act out. No, the armor is this. We put on the precepts of God's knowledge. We stir up the Spirit of God that is on the inside of us. We prepare our feet by understanding the gospel is the good news that Satan was defeated, and we walk in the truth of his defeat every day because salvation has come to my house. That when I walk in the ability to be saved. I walk in the ability to win. I walk in everything that he defeated on the cross. And when he raised himself up from the dead, when the Spirit raised him up from the dead, he took the keys of the kingdom of Satan and he gave it to the church. Hallelujah. Okay, so Johnny, so I had a dream. You wonder why I'm a little bit. I've been talking this stuff. I've been praying this stuff. I've been understanding this stuff. But I had a dream. Not last night, but the night before. And so there was a man, and he was coming at me full force. So go back by the door. And he was crying out, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? Do it, Johnny.
Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me?
Yes, he can! Boom. That is exactly what happened in my dream. You did a good job. He did get up, and he was excited, and he was free. Amen. You got to see this way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but I have the precepts of God on the inside of me. I have the Spirit of God working on the inside of me. When Satan has bound somebody in his traps and they're in the cage that he has made for him, we don't have to like work up anything. We don't have to make our emotions get engaged. We need to speak by the Spirit, and we just need to say, yes, he can. I mean, it was awesome. And it is awesome. It was just a nice little visual that God gave me in my dream or vision or whatever it was. But we are walking around as though we have to beg God to do something for us when he's already done it. We already have the power of God living on the inside. Somebody comes running and they say, can you help me? And they have whatever it is, sickness, disease, demons have to bow. They don't get to vote anymore. But that is if you put on the whole armor of God. You see, I have to put on, let me read it. Please. Don't die on me now. Okay. Okay, so you stand firm, hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, which is personal integrity and moral courage. Now see, we're gonna put on our armor a different way. We're gonna say, Lord, I thank you that I can come before you and I can confess any sin that I have. And it makes me free from that sin. And so now I stand before you with personal integrity. So no attack of the enemy. or accusation is going to work. Now you see how freeing that is? You know how you have confidence? That's how you get it. We put on the armor of God by having personal integrity or moral courage. And if you have been immoral or you don't have integrity, well, that's a good thing for you to start doing every day when you wake up. Say, well, I'm putting this on. I'm gonna arm myself against the enemy. When he throws his fiery darts, they're just going to bounce off because they have nothing open to let it stick inside. Okay, that's around my waist. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means an upright heart. I have a heart that is upright. That means I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added to me. You can't make me, Satan, think that I'm not upright when he said I am. If he says I'm saved, I'm saved. If he says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. I'm not righteous in my own strength. I am righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that lives inside of me. Putting on my armor. You see? Okay? The shield of faith. What's faith? Where does faith come from? Hearing and hearing the word of God. I'm going to put it on the inside of me. Satan comes and he tells me I'm sick. I'm going to say I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were. And if we were, then I am. I am healed. I am whole. Yep. Oh, we quit singing that song. You know, we quit running around singing that song to everybody. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were. Already accomplished, already am healed. If we were, then I am. But see, all the stuff that we laid down because we thought it was silly, it was teaching us the precepts of God. And we were saying it out of our mouth and we were causing things to happen. Amen. Put on the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit. You can't do anything unless you know him. The sword of the Spirit is the helmet of salvation. No wonder you're getting your head chopped off if you don't know him as Lord and Savior. The enemy's coming and he's just whacking your head. Okay, bow your heads. So if anyone here today does not have the assurance that you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and ask him to forgive you of everything you've ever done and let him prove himself to you as a personal Lord, as a personal Savior, then this is your opportunity. So you have to say, okay, I'm in a war and I have an enemy. But the way that I start, the way that the first thing I have to do is protect my head. And to protect my head, I have to put on the helmet. And to put on the helmet, I have to ask God for salvation. And it comes in one way. It comes by accepting Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. One way, Jesus. So, the question to you today is on a personal assessment. Do you have the helmet of salvation on? Do you know for sure today, if Jesus came, that he would welcome you into heaven and he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Would you have the blood covering all your sin? Would you have the assurance that he would welcome you into heaven? Because if you don't have that, you don't even have the starter kit for your armor. But today you can. So who is brave enough to raise their hand and say, I need that. I need that assurance. I need to know that Jesus came today. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Then, okay, thank you for that hand. Then this is such a great opportunity for you to settle that issue. Because we're going to put on the whole armor of God and we will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. I told you all the good stuff. Now I'm going to tell you something very serious. We are facing some serious times. If you think you face anything in the past, it isn't anything compared to what you're going to face in the future. And God is trying to get us to be gird up so when these things come, we won't worry about it. We will take charge of it. But you can't take charge of it if you're not assured of your salvation. So right now, we are going to say this prayer. But if you need to say this prayer, I don't want you just repeating words. I want you to say it with some knowledge of revelation on the inside that these are more than words. This is agreement with God about the power of accepting the death and resurrection of his son in your life. Okay, church, let's do this. Say, Father God, I acknowledge the great price that you gave so that we, so that I could be set free from sin. I don't want sin in my life anymore. I want my sin to be eradicated by what Jesus paid. So I'm asking you, Jesus, forgive me now of all my sin. Wash it away. Release me from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your marvelous light. And I will love you and I will serve you. I'm joining the army, but I'm joining the army that wins because of you, Jesus. I thank you for forgiveness. And I declare I am a Christian that acts like Christ. Therefore, I win. Amen.